Sure Foundation Baptist Church, everybody please take a seat and grab a hymn book. First song we're going to be singing tonight is song 236, No Not One. Song 236 in your hymn books, No Not One. On the first. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one, no, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one, no, not one. Or sinner find that he would not take him. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. Was here a gift like the Savior given? No, not one, no, not one. Will he refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. All right, everybody, good singing. Brother Wade, could you please open us up with a word of prayer? Amen. All right. Next song we're going to be singing is song 311. Song 311 in your hymn books. Song 311. All for Jesus. On the first. All for Jesus. All for Jesus. All my being's ransom powers. All my thoughts and words and doings, all my days and all my hours, all for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my days and all my hours, all for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my days and all my hours. Let my hands perform his bidding. Let my feet run in his ways. Let my eyes see Jesus only. Let my lips speak forth his praise. All for Jesus, all for Jesus. Let my lips speak forth his praise. All for Jesus, all for Jesus. Let my lips speak forth his praise. Since my eyes were fixed on Jesus, I've lost sight of all beside. So enchain my spirit's vision, looking at the crucified. All for Jesus, looking at the crucified. All for Jesus, looking at the crucified. Oh, I wonder how amazing, Jesus, glorious King of Kings, deigns to call me his beloved, lets me rest beneath his wings. All for Jesus, resting now beneath his wings. All for Jesus, resting now beneath his wings. All right, everybody, good singing. Now for some announcements.
Welcome back to Shore Foundation Baptist Church. If you need a bulletin, please raise your hand and the usher will bring one to you. The verse of the week is 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 6. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Of course, we should desire truth, and Christians should be honest people. And on the inside page, please give us a follow on YouTube, Facebook, Rumble, and X. We have service time Sunday morning at 11, Sunday afternoon service at 4. Brother Jerry will be preaching for us today. And then we'll have Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. This Wednesday, we'll be going through, the majority of Acts chapter number 4. We have soul winning Sunday afternoon at 1:30 and Saturday morning soul winning at 10:30 a.m. Today we have 14 soul winners and 6 salvations. Praise the Lord for that. Again, great salvation number, so let's push on the baptisms. Upcoming events, we'll have a baby shower right after the service today. Okay, again, it's today, not next week. It's today because you've seen all this stuff and all the things. So today, and please participate in the in the games. Especially the men. Okay, so we'll meet at a different location next Sunday at a hotel conference room. The address is below. I will post again on the soul winning group. We'll have morning service. We'll go to a place for lunch, and then we're going to have soul winning. There will be no afternoon service for that day alone. We have soul winning marathon coming up. May 23rd is the Indy 500 soul winning marathon. That's next Saturday. We'll meet here at the church building, and then we will shuttle you guys to the parking lot at the racetrack. We'll be going around the racetrack. Last year we walked a lot, 8-10 miles, whatever, and we smelled turkey leg, with the street food. So wonderful time, a lot of people. So again, if you are coming, just exercise discretion on bringing younger kids, because we'll be going to massive crowds, so just be aware of that. And then Gary is on May 30th. Chicago State University is on June 8th. That's a Saturday. And then St. Louis is June 27th. Hopefully we can get a good group so we can support the church over there. They are coming here in September, July, or something like that. They will come also. So we are swapping soul winning team there. So there's that. Please go to thegodresource.com for so many events throughout the world. You can RSVP and, you can see different events over there. And then men's preaching night is on the 31st, not next Sunday, but the following Sunday. If you want to preach, please let me know prior to that. And, I need to know your sermon topic and so on, so on and so forth. If you have never preached before, this is a good chance for you to preach. As long as you're not preaching any heresy, just, start basic. If you have, if you've never preached before, just stay basic and preach basic sermons. And that's a great, time for you to practice, because you got to start somewhere, right? So that's a good opportunity for you. Even though you don't desire to be a pastor or something like that, still a great tool to have, because what if you need to fill in for your preacher or something, or you travel to places that if they need a preacher, again, that's a great tool for you to have. Let's see. Let's flip on the backside. We have birthday coming up. Zayden's birthday is on Wednesday. How old will you be? We're five. So let's sing happy birthday to Zayden. Let's do this. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. All right. Also, I have an anniversary on Indy 500 Sewing Marathon next Saturday. So, yeah, let's sing happy anniversary to me and my wife. I believe it is the sixth year, something like that. All right. So let's sing happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy anniversary to you. All right. Okay, I think that's all the announcement. Let's sing one more song and then we'll take up the offering.
All right, next song is going to be song 473, Ship Ahoy, 473 in your hymn books. Song 473 on the first. I was drifting away on life's pitiless sea, and the angry waves threatened my ruin to be. When away at my side, there I dimly descried a stately old vessel, and loudly I cried, ship ahoy, ship ahoy. And loudly I cried, ship ahoy. 'Twas the old ship of Zion, the sailing along. All aboard her seemed joyous, I heard their sweet song. And the captain's kind ear, ever ready to hear, caught my wail of distress as I cried out in fear. Ship ahoy, ship ahoy, as I cried out in fear, ship ahoy. The good captain commanded a boat to be lowered, and with tender compassion he took me aboard. And I'm happy today, all my sins washed away in the blood of my Savior, and now I can say, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. From my soul I can say, bless the Lord. Oh, soul sinking down, need sin's merciless wave. The strong arm of our captain is mighty to save. Then trust him today, no longer delay. Board the old ship of Zion and shout on your way. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout and sing on your way. Jesus saves. All right, good singing. Ushers, could you please step up? Brother Matthew, could you please pray for the offering?
All right, we'll be in 2 Timothy chapter 2 this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Whole chapter will be read. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithfully, he cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the faith have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Brother Christian, could you pray us to the service?
Amen. Howdy, church. Look down at your Bibles, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Today we'll be talking about what it takes to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. My sermon title is A Good Soldier. And if you're not already aware, I think most people in this room are, that when you got saved, you were enlisted in God's army, right? You're a soldier, right? Now, the Bible describes what type of soldier you should be, and it's a good soldier, meaning that there's different types of soldiers, right? You can be a slothful soldier. You can be a bad soldier, right? But the Bible commands us to be a good soldier, right? Meaning, we're to fight the good fight of faith, right? We're to war a good warfare, right? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing in captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, right? We're supposed to be repenting of our sins. We're supposed to be going to church. We're supposed to be going out soul winning, right? We're supposed to be following the law of God, being a good soldier, right? Enduring hardness as a good soldier, right? And some of the things that God, commands us to do puts us in tough situations, right? Out soul winning and stuff like that, going to a church that we go to, right? We get persecution. We have to endure that hardness, right? Sometimes our families, we get persecuted from them, right? For going to the church that we go to or believing the things that we do, right? We have to endure that hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And, you know, most of my sermon is going to be about being a good soldier, you know, bad soldier, stuff like that. And there's a good example of, like, the National Guard being good soldiers, right? And my first point is serving others and how we should be, you know, a good soldier serves others, right? They endure hardness for others, right? And then soldiers in the National Guard, I'm just going to give a list of things that they do, you know, being a good soldier, serving others, serving the communities, you know, disaster relief and emergency response, right? When I was a kid, Hurricane Katrina, when that came in, right, it leveled New Orleans, the levees, they collapsed, and the civilians were going out trying to rescue other people, right? And then the National Guard came in, being good soldiers, and relieving that, right? They were cleaning up the dead bodies, right? They were rescuing small children, families from the roofs of their houses and stuff like that, right? They endured hardness for those things. They also, fight wildfires, stuff like that, right? They're not only just, their first duty is to protect and serve and, you know, fight wars, right? But their secondary duties is to, you know, help protect and serve, right? They're there to serve the community, help us, stuff like that. Turn to Matthew 14. Keep your place in 2 Timothy as well. We'll be going back there. And Philippians 2, as you're turning now, read, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even to the death of the cross." Right? The Lord Jesus Christ is the best example of a good soldier, right? He even to the cross, right? Even to death, right? He served us, right? That's how he served us. He took our place, right? And he made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself, right? A good soldier of Jesus Christ and that endures hardness is a humble soldier, right? You know, and, you know, sometimes it's, you know, enduring hardness is coming to church, right? Driving to church, waking up, right? And the Bible commands us to come to church, right? In Hebrews, it says, "Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching," right? You're being a good soldier, you're enduring hardness by coming to church for the person next to you, right? You're encouraging and exhorting one another, right? You know, let's say, you know, half the congregation doesn't show up to church, right? You know, that could discourage our evangelists. It could discourage one of you, right? It's important that we show up for one another. We endure hardness for one another. And in Matthew 14, starting in verse 13, Jesus is talking about serving others. Well, he commands his disciples to serve one another, or serve the masses. Starting in verse 13, "When Jesus heard of it," John the Baptist was just killed. This is what he's hearing. "He departed thence by ship into a desert place apart, and when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot of the cities." Right. In verse 14, "And Jesus went forth and saw the great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick." So Jesus, when he saw the masses, right, he became a servant, right? He healed the masses. He had compassion on them. And he didn't just have compassion and be like, "Well, good luck." Right, he actually went out there and healed. Right, he ministered to those people. Right, and then see the contrast of the disciples in Matthew 14:15. "And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals.'" Right, so the disciples are trying to send these people away, whereas the Lord Jesus Christ is ministering to these people. He's healing the sick. Right. And the disciples basically just want to get rid of them, right? They look at the masses like, how can we take care of these people in a desert place, right? How can we do this? And then verse 16, "But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart, give ye them to eat,'" right? And then Jesus, with the fish and the bread, they feed the masses, right? And notice this, he tells them to serve them, right? Even though it's uncomfortable, right? So they're enduring hardness, right? Because their Lord had commanded them. They're enduring hardness, serving these masses, feeding the masses, right? So Jesus wants you to be inconvenienced, right? He doesn't want you to have a real comfortable life serving all the time, right? He wants you to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, right? Preaching a sermon, right? I'm enduring hardness, right? Because I never saw myself up here, you know, being a preacher, right? As an unsaved heathen, right? This is a little uncomfortable. I'm an extrovert and it's still uncomfortable, right? It's enduring hardness as a good soldier. You know, you're inconvenienced by others, right? That's what it is, or part of it at least. Turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And then starting in verse 7, consider what I say, and this is Paul talking to Timothy, so consider what I say, so take heed, and the Lord will give thee understanding in all things. So the things that he's about to say to Timothy, or he's writing to Timothy, he wants him to take heed so you can have understanding in all things. Verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. So because Paul is enduring, he's being a good soldier of Jesus Christ, he's preaching the gospel, right? He's in bonds, right? He's in prison while he's writing this epistle, right? He's enduring hardness, and he's exhorting Timothy to do this, right? And then in verse 1 of the chapter, he tells him what he should be trusting in, right? Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And in the context of this chapter is a physical salvation, right? He's commanding us to be a good doer or a good soldier of Jesus Christ, right? And we're trusting in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. We're not putting our trust in our own strength. We're not putting our trust in, you know, our money, our belongings, right? Our families, right? We're putting our trust in the grace that is Jesus, right? And then we're going to succeed. And it says in verse 2, and these things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So why are we doing that? Why are we enduring hardness as a good soldier, right? For others, right? So we can teach others so that they can teach others, so they can endure hardness, and so on and so on, right? That's how we got, you know, Paul 2,000 years ago to now, right? Good soldiers preaching the gospel, holding fast, right? And then verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, right? That's the enduring, the hardness, right? And then go down to verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. So in verse 1, it's telling us to trust in the grace of Jesus Christ. And then if we don't, right, if we deny him, he'll deny us that physical salvation, right? It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. So if we are willing to die for it, right, if we're willing to sacrifice the things around us, right, the Lord will come through. He has to, because in verse 13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself, right? And a lot of people say this is talking about a spiritual salvation, but it's really talking about a physical salvation, right? Paul's talking to Timothy, a saved individual, about enduring as a good soldier, right? Enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. So if we're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to come through, right? If we're putting our trust in him, right? Just like Meshach, Abednego, how do you say it? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? I didn't grow up Baptist, so you can tell, right? Right, they're trusting that the Lord will deliver them, right, when they're being thrown into the furnace, right? And the Lord came through. The Son of God showed up, right? He abided faithful, right? He will save us. He will deliver us, right? And even if we die, we're still delivered, right? We're going to heaven. He can't fail us, right? We've already overcome this world through the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, believing on that, right? And then verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity, right? That's our job, right? We're supposed to endure hardness by departing from iniquity, right? Sometimes it's, you know, waking up in the morning, you know, having to pray is a challenge for a lot of people, right? It's a challenge for me sometimes where I'm waking up. I only have like 10 to 12 minutes to get ready. Boom. I'm like, no, I need private time with the Lord. I need to pray. I need to do it in hardness. I need to repent of my sins, right? I need to bring into captivity every thought, right, into the obedience of Jesus Christ. And then verse 20, but in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor, right? The foundation of God is the word of God, and it stands sure. We can trust in that. We can trust in the promises, right? But this verse here is, like, let's say like a church, right? There's some that are gold and silver in this church, right? And then there's some that are wood and earth. There's some that are dishonorable, and there's some that are honorable, right? There's some that are going to do more for Christ, and there's some that is not going to do more, right? And if you want to be that gold and silver, if you want to be that good soldier, in verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself of these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared to every good work. So the Lord wants us to work. He wants us to repent of our sins, right? He wants us to be that gold and silver, right, in this church. He doesn't want us to be that wood and earth, right? You don't want to be a useless Christian, right? You want to be actively soul winning. You want to be participating in the work of God. You want to be enduring hardness as a good soldier. And verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance, to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. The only way to not be taken captive by the devil is to trust in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the only way to endure as a soldier, right? We can't do it ourselves. We have to be trusting in Jesus. And a good soldier serves others, right? They're inconvenienced by others, right? Some of the examples in this room, right? Like, we're helping one another get to church, right? That's enduring hardness for one another. Brother Brad's a good example. He'll go around picking the people up, taking people to soul winning, right? Some people rent vans and stuff like that. They spend their own hard-earned money to go encourage other people, exhort other people. They travel around and stuff like that. That's a good testimony. That's a good soldier, right? Turn to Luke 14, and we're done with 2 Timothy. My first point was serving others as a good soldier. Right, that's part of enduring hardness. Also, and then my second point is excuses to not be a good soldier. Right, a lot of people give a lot of excuses of not why they're not going to church, why they're not going soul winning, why they're not repenting of their sins. Right, you know, even like why they're not at home taking care of their children. Right, in Luke 14, verse 16, Jesus talks about these excuses. He gives a parable. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. So this man right here in verse 18, he's giving an excuse about his house, right? His possessions are getting in the way of serving the Lord. Right, he's making an excuse, right? We can't be like this person, right? We can't let our house, our vehicles, our jobs, our money, our mammon get in the way of serving God, right? That's a quick way for God to take that stuff away, right? You need to endure hardness. You need to make some sacrifices, right? Even if, you know, like an unsaved heathen, right? They have to make sacrifices for certain things, right? We the much more as servants of God, as good soldiers, right? We don't want to be a bad soldier. We want to be a good soldier. We want to be willing to sacrifice these things, right? And then verse 19, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Same deal, right? I can't let my chickens get in the way, right? I can't just show up to my... I can't not show up to the second service because my chickens are going to die, right? No, the chickens are just going to have to wait, right? They're just going to have to die, honestly. They're stupid birds anyway, right? I appreciate the eggs and stuff. I appreciate the work my wife has put into it, but they're birds. They're stupid birds, right? They're a lot of work, honestly, but... You know, and it's not like I don't really care about them, really, right? I want the eggs. I want the meat, right? They're a lot of work. Butchering those chickens is a lot of work. It's a lot of enduring hardness, right? I got to stand there. My back's hurting. I really hate those things, man. And, you know, when I first started coming here, they did get in my way, right? I was making an excuse. And that's a bad soldier, right? That's a quick way to lose all that work that I put into those stupid birds, right? Matthew 6:24 reads, "No man can serve two masters, for either we hate the one, and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon." Right, you can't serve your stuff. Right, you can't be you can't let these things take over your life, so you're not serving God. Right, you'll despise God. You'll hate God. He'll be like getting in the way of your money, in your own mind. Right, you don't want that. You want a good relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Right, and I despise those chickens. They get in the way all the time. Luke 12:15. Jesus is like he hammers this. And he said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth," right? I own a pretty good property, right? A big house. It takes a lot of work, right? I can't be putting my trust in that stuff, right? I'm trying to become more self-sufficient, where we're not relying on the electric company and for the heat and the lighting and stuff like that, right? But I can't be putting my trust in that, right? I got to be putting my trust in the Lord as a soldier. A good soldier of Jesus Christ, right? Because God will take that stuff away. I mean, how many tornadoes do we have this year already? He could just wipe that away. Shoot, buddy's house burned down, right? I mean, like, my house could burn down. God could take that hedge of protection away, boom, just to get me right, right? I don't want that. I want to be as comfortable as possible, but also endure hardness, right? I want to leave an inheritance to my children. Right, I don't want God to take that away, right? Because I'm not enduring hardness for others. I'm not enduring hardness for the Lord Jesus Christ, right? I should be willing to die for him, right? Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also," right? We don't want our hearts on the things of this world. We want our heart pointed toward God, right? We want to have God the focus, right, of our marriage, of our friendships, of our workplace, right? And when I'm in the work, Christ is on my mind. Right, when my boss comes up and asks me to do something, right, the Lord's on my mind. I know he's watching. Right, I'm going to do exactly what my boss says. Well, imagine if I gave my boss a bunch of excuses like these guys. Right, how long would I work there? He'd get rid of me. Right, we can't do that to the Lord Jesus Christ either. Right, yeah, Norm would look at me like, "What is wrong? What are you serious? Like, because you bought some oxen? You can't do your work, right?" Look down at Luke 14. "And another said, 'I have a married wife, and therefore I cannot come.'" We definitely do not want our family getting in the way, right? And skip down to verse 25. Jesus talks about this. "And there were great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, 'If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother, or and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Right? If you want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to be willing to sacrifice, right, these things for the work of God, right, to endure hardness. That doesn't mean I actually hate my wife, but in comparison to my love for the Lord Jesus Christ, the only reason why I have Kelly, my wife, is because the Lord gave her to me, right? So I love him that much more for giving me a wife like Kelly, or my son like Cooper, or Lyra, or Miriam, right? I love them. I love the Lord Jesus Christ the much more, and I want to serve them. I want to serve them also, yeah, but I want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ more, right? I don't want that stuff getting in the way. I do not want the Lord taking away my family, right? And he will punish me if I'm not going to do her hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then a lot of Christians let that stuff get in the way, right? They worship family. They put that idol, their family, in the way, right? That's unacceptable. As Christians, we're not to have idols, and we don't want to idolize our family. We don't want to idolize our homes, our possessions, right? And then Luke 14, verse 21, So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, and said unto the servant, go quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou commanded, and there is room. So because, you know, there's so many slothful servants, because there's so many people giving excuses, this room isn't full. It's never going to be full, right? Because there's not enough people soul winning, right? And that's what this is about, because in verse 23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Right? He's going to come down on these men that are making excuses, right? Excuses for why, you know, let's say, like, I lose my job because I go to this church, because I preach at this church, I go soul winning and stuff like that, right? Am I going to blame the Lord Jesus Christ, or am I going to endure thy hardness? I'm going to endure thy hardness. Amen. You know, I want to be at that supper, right? I want to be rejoicing in heaven because I finished my race, right, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I don't want to blame the church. I don't want to blame Jesus Christ because I lost my job, right? Become a backslidden nobody, right? Proverbs 10:5, he that gathereth in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. We don't want to be a son of God that causes shame, right? By not enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We want to go out on the highways and hedges. We want to preach the gospel. We want to be consistent with these things, repenting of our sins, right? And then point three, good soldiers are not cowards. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 20. Good soldiers are not cowards. Starting in verse 1, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. So verse 1, when we see the enemy come, right, when we see the protesters, we should not fear them, right? We got to fear the Lord more, right? You got to trust in the Lord. Otherwise, I mean, what's going to happen, right? The Lord's going to come down on us, right? He's going to take away that hedge of protection. It's likely, right? We don't want that to happen. Verse 2, and it shall be when ye are come nigh into the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Now, just like in 2 Timothy chapter 2, right? We're trusting in the Lord. He has to abide faithful, right? If we're trusting in him, he's got to abide faithful to us, right? And his promises. He will deliver us. He will give us that physical salvation, right? When our families are coming down on us, when they're making their threats, right? If they're calling CPS and stuff like that, abide faithful, right? Because he's going to abide faithful to you. But if you deny him, he's going to deny you, right? Those fears that you have will come to fruition. If you don't trust in the Lord. Skip down to verse 8. And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's hearts faint as well as his heart. A good soldier is not a coward, right? We do not want cowards in our midst, right? Because it's going to spread. A little leaveneth the whole lump, right? If one man... You know, the protesters are a good example, right? That happened and people feared, right? Not just at this church, but other churches around, right? They all noticed. They all got fearful and they all started persecuting the ones that were defending this church. They got fearful. That fear spread, right? And in Deuteronomy chapter 20, we're going to remove these people, right? We don't want to be around these people because they're going to leaven the whole lump, right? A good soldier is not a coward like these people. If you're a coward, just get out. Just leave, right? Because you're not going to last anyway. Romans 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? Right? It's, you know, I get it. Because I'm a man. I get the carnal, the ideas, right, of seeing the fear that of, you know, the sodomites and all these things happening. You know, the government might come down on us one day, right? But God, he created all of it, right? He created all these people. He can just as easily destroy them all, right? He's going to protect us, right? Just believe the promises in the Bible. It's just that simple. Walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, right? Be a good soldier. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. I made a good sermon this morning on lying and bearing false witness. We shouldn't be using our fears as an excuse to lie. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 9, lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. See how lying is, being in the flesh, right? Walking in the old man with his deeds, right? That's what lying is, right? So, if, you know, let's say like soul winning, for example, right? We shouldn't be lying at soul winning, right? To get out of situations, it doesn't matter what it is. Lying's a sin. It's just that simple. And we should be fearing God to the point where, like, he might destroy us on lies. You know, we see it as a small sin, right? But in Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination of the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Proverbs 19:5, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. That's terrifying, right? If I catch myself in a lie, I'm immediately repenting of that stuff, right? Because the Bible says that I shall not escape, right? I shall not be unpunished. I don't want punished, right? I'm gonna ask for mercy. Lord, give me a lesser punishment. Have mercy on me, right? We don't want to be walking in the flesh and lying and being cowards, right? We want to fear the Lord, not fear man. That's what a good soldier endures hardness, endures that fear, right? Before when I was sitting over there, Brother Stephen was reading the Bible, right? I was like, man, I got to get up there, right? I was fearing getting up here and preaching again. You know, I'm still not used to it. You know what I mean? Public speaking, right? That could be a fear. That could be a fear of yours, right? But you need to endure hardness, right? You need to start. We need more preachers. It's just that simple. The Lord commands you to do it, right? He wants you to preach his word. He wants you to endure hardness as a good soldier, not a bad soldier, right? You don't want to sit back because you're afraid, right? Amen? And then 1 Corinthians reads, in 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Right. So we might be, you know, our flesh, our old man, right, our corpse might be afraid, right? But the Lord will give us a way to escape. And that's not lying, right? Trusting in the Lord is the way to escape. Amen? That you may be able to bear it. You know, I was pretty fearful sitting there, right? But up here, I'm just kind of like, yeah, all right, here we go. Just next verse, expound, because I'm trusting in the Lord, right? I'm trusting in his word. I'm just expounding on his word. That's all, what this is, really. It's not my opinion. I didn't come up with this stuff, right? I didn't believe this stuff for, you know, most of my life. It's not my opinion, right? We don't want to be cowards. We don't want to be making excuses, right? We don't want to be putting things before the Lord, right? He will take those things away. We need to endure hardness as a good soldier. A good soldier endures hardness. That's what it is, right? You endure that hardness. Point number four, good soldiers fight for the innocent. Turn to Luke 17. Good soldiers fight for the innocent. There's a story in the news. I'm not sure if it was I'm pretty sure it was Indiana, about this FedEx guy that kidnapped a little girl. I think she was 7 years old, about Cooper's age, right? And there's a recording of what took place in that FedEx truck, right? This monster, this pedophile, took this little girl and, I mean, doing what pedophiles do, he raped her, right? And the recording is basically her begging for her mother. And that story was all over the news, right? And then, you know, people would be talking about it, and they'd be like, well, you don't know the full story. And it's like, what do you mean? What did you, like, did you just listen to the record? Like, what, did you, how? Right? And he got convicted by a jury of his peers. Right? I don't think they're his peers, right? His peers are disgusting sodomites, false prophets, children of Satan. That monster should be killed immediately. We shouldn't be making excuses and just abandoning the innocent, right? And putting these people in prison and keep them. I think he's getting the death penalty. Thank God, right? But this, yeah, the story's been on my mind for a while because it's like people talk about it, like the unsaved talk about it sometimes, like these like weak men. It's like, where, what are you doing? Like, you're making excuses for the monsters of this world. And at the same time, I led this man to the Lord. His name is Tom, right? And I, you know, preached to him. He said he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He, you know, he believed it was eternal and stuff like that. And then I find out months later that he has been convicted three times as child molestation, right? This monster, right, is a reprobate, right? He was trying to get close to me, right? My family, our church, that's what he was doing, right? A child of Satan, right? That stuff wouldn't happen if good soldiers actually preached from the pulpit, like Baptist churches actually preached against these people, right? That they should be put to death. Not allowed in churches, right? There's a church, Faith, what is it? Fairview Baptist Church. Let's see if I can open this link. And it's, and this article is called Pedophiles in the Church, right? This is a Baptist church. this pastor, I was asked recently to give counsel to a believer outside of our fellowship struggling to know how to relate to a person in their church formerly convicted of sexual crimes against children. This person's already been convicted, found guilty of this, right? But now repents. Sexual crimes have increased in our days of sexual perversion, and it is important that we know how to navigate such situations with grace and wisdom and love. Right, he's giving an excuse of why he has a pedophile in his church. It's disgusting. And how many Baptist churches do we know of that have like a pedophile section in their church? Why? Why would you do that? But maybe you don't believe in the reprobate doctrine, right? But you have convicted pedophiles in your church around children. Well, they're not, they're separate, right? They shouldn't be anywhere near the children. They shouldn't be anywhere near you. That's disgusting. Why would you want a person like that around you, right? Even believing that, you know, God can forgive them, it's like, yeah, God forgave you, but you go that way, right? You stand over there, right? Even if you, like, I don't want you anywhere near me, right? And this is obvious to any, like, person that, like, any person. This is obvious. Because I was an unsaved heathen, and I didn't want my children going to public schools with transsexuals, these weird, like, these cross-dressing, like, Bible study, or not Bible study, but book reading things. I'm like, what is going on? Like, why are we not arresting these pedophiles and killing them? Right? How many, I don't know how many times I've seen where there's, like, a woman taking advantage of several teenage boys or underage boys, right? And they get, like, community service. No, put them to death, right? They should be put to death immediately, right? Obviously, after a trial, right? After that trial, after a speedy trial, a fair trial, put to death immediately, right? It doesn't matter. Woman, man, you're reprobates, right? You're disgusting, wicked sodomites, right? That's what you are. Luke 17, verse 2, this is what Jesus says. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. This is how Jesus feels about these people, right? They should be put to death, right? They should be, a millstone is a rock, right? You tie a millstone, a rock, with a rope around their neck, you throw them in the nearest body of water, and be done with it. Let the ocean crush them, right? Let them drown. Praise the Lord. I'm very thankful our Lord is a just God, right? And good soldiers, right, they fight for the innocent. Right, they stand up and they actually speak out against this, right? And, you know, with this Tom guy, this child molester, right, I had people come to me and it's like, well, you don't know the same words. You don't know the full story. I'm like, convicted three times with child molestation. It's not just one time, right? And I know another church with my family goes to the church, right? They have a convicted pedophile there. It's like, this is rampant in churches, right? They have a convicted pedophile there, right? Because he had child pornography on his phone. And he still has it. Why is he in a church? And the whole church is like, no, we need to get this guy out. And then the false prophet pastor is like, well, no, God has grace. You know? And it's like, what are you doing? Just leave the church. That's disgusting. Jesus says, kill them. Drown them. Kill them all. Every single last one of them. That FedEx story was just gut-wrenching. That little girl's no longer alive. Her last moments were that monster. And it's because men, good soldiers, or now they're not good soldiers, men, Christian men, they haven't stood up in the past against this stuff. They haven't preached against it enough. That's what I believe. Because Baptist churches are filled with pedophiles. Why? Sodomites. It's disgusting. We should not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So my first point was serving others. That's part of serving others too, kicking these people out, right? We should be protecting the congregation, right? Thank God we have a church like this that does not allow these people in, right? Be thankful you have a church like this. It's a blessing. You know, thank God for Pastor Thompson. Thank God for Evangelist Justin that we have this church. Because I would not go to a church that has pedophiles in it. It's not going to happen. Right? That leaves me with very few options, unfortunately. Which is sad. Like, you think Calvinism and free will Baptists are like a problem, but it's like, you know, yeah, they believe some heresies, but there's some saved people in there, but then they have pedophiles in there. It's like, well, that's no, that church is no good. I can't go there. Like, we're past the point of railers and fornicators and adulterers in 1 Corinthians 5. Like, I can't, no. It's just, it's never going to happen at this church. And if it does happen in this church, I have to find a new church. Right? It's just something that I'll die on this hill. These people deserve to die. And then my second point was excuses not to be a good soldier. Right? We should be trusting in the Lord. Right? We should be enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We shouldn't be putting our trust in our belongings, right? We shouldn't be putting our idolizing our family, right? Or, you know, Israel. We shouldn't be putting those things before God, right? We shouldn't be blessing God where that blessing belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ and his people, right? We shouldn't be idolizing these things. We shouldn't be making excuses, you know. Or we shouldn't be cowards, right? Good soldiers are not cowards. Right? We're not liars. And like I said, if you're a coward, you're not going to last. Right? You don't want to be that wood and earth Christian. Right? You want to be that gold and silver Christian. Right? You want to look down and have God look down on this church and just see gold and silver, gold and silver, gold and silver, gold and silver. Right? That's what we want in this church. And that is in part those gold and silver people enduring hardness for those wood and wooden earth Christians, right? Edifying one another, exhorting one another, actually showing up, right? You have to show up. That's like the bare minimum for a Christian. You show up for church. You show up for soul winning, right? Maybe show up for some marathons, one or two of them, right? We have a great plethora of them, honestly. I find myself just not being able to sleep on weekends. But then my final point, I pretty much hammered on that. Good soldiers fight for the innocent. We never want to let our guard down in this church, right? We should. I mean, maybe I didn't do my due diligence with Tom like I should have, and like maybe I should probably figure out why he's homeless and why he doesn't want to get a job, like why he doesn't want to get a place to live, right? Because then he gets a background check, right? Maybe it. The Lord wanted me to learn a lesson there, right? And I had the hedge of protection around me. Thank God, right? Thank God I was like, I don't want to boast myself, but like, yeah, I think I'm a pretty good soldier most of the time, right? I believe that hedge of protection, I believe God protected me through there. He actually delivered my family and our church from that. That I didn't bring that monster in here so he can get our names and look at our children. Pray that monster dies. He's disgusting. He sat in my vehicle. I gave him rides all around. It's disgusting. And don't be like this Fairview Baptist Church. where you're just making excuses, where the whole congregation wants the pedophile out, but the pastor doesn't. Right? What does that say about the pastor? It makes me wonder if he's the same type of person. If the whole congregation wants that person gone, the pedophile, the child of Satan, the obvious child of Satan in the room, wants that person gone, and the pastor doesn't, the pastor surely doesn't love the flock. He's surely not protecting the flock. He's putting them in danger. Why? Makes me wonder. And I started listening to his sermons, trying to figure out what he is, right? There's a lot of false prophet Baptists out there, a lot of Judases. We want to be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't stop making excuses, right? We want to endure hardness as a good soldier. Because whether you like it or not, once you got saved, you're in the Lord's army, right? I think there's like a little children's song on that. I didn't grow up Baptist, but I think I heard it once or twice where, I was enlisting the Lord's army and stuff like that. I thought it was cute, right? Maybe I should have my kids grow up with that instead of what I grew up with. But yeah, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Be a good soldier, right? Don't be that wooden earth Christian. Be that gold and silver Christian. It's pretty simple stuff. You just have to read the Bible, right? Divide the word of truth. Trust in that sure foundation that is the word of God, right? Read your Bibles. Learn it. Apply it. Boom. It's pretty simple stuff. This is such a blessing to have the word of God because I have a blueprint for my life. I never had that, right? It's such a blessing to see these characters of the Bible come to life in my life where I'm like, wow, he's going through the same things. He's having the same struggles, right? Endure hardness as a good soldier, like Joseph, right? This morning about fleeing fornication, right? I wish I had that story drilled in my head when I was a kid, right? That's a good story. Or Leviticus, right? I wouldn't be scarred all over my body then. A good blueprint. You need to read it. You need to apply it. You need to be a good soldier and do your hardness. You need to trust in these promises, right? Amen. Let's end in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, let us have a blessed fellowship with the baby shower, and please bless the Brother Stockton and Sister Stockton and their childbirth and their child rearing, and let them have a good healthy baby when they're born. And let us trust in your promises and be a good soldier for you. And let's not be a wood and earth Christian, but a gold and silver Christian. We love you. Please be with us in your precious son's name. Amen.
All right. Amen. Last song we're going to be singing is a very fitting song, song 412 in your hymn books. Song 412, Onward Christian Soldiers, song 412. 412, on the first. Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. At the sign of triumph, latent host doth flee. On then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, listen. your voices, loud your banners raise. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided. We one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward then, ye people, join our happy throng. Blend with ours your voices in the triumph song. Glory, laud, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going